It's great, isn't it? Who's enjoying this series? Everyone sort of taking it in on going into the house groups and things as well. I know our house group's really loving it, so having some great discussions through this. So we're halfway through. There are some notes out there for this morning. Who hasn't got one of these? Okay, keep your hands up, and Paul's going to come round and hand those out. So, because there's some good practical application we can take from today's lesson as well. Looking at the big picture, and it's looking at our response, which we'll look at in a second as well. So just as a bit of a recap of what we've gone so far, what have we learnt? We've learnt that we are worshippers. And that is not just Christians, but all people everywhere are worshippers. And generally that we are very good at it. Obviously the difference there being the object of our worship. We've learnt that only the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is truly worthy of worship. And we've learnt that often that the object of our worship can be often less than worthy. We've also learned that there is a war over our worship. Louis mentioned the passage from Job there where Satan and God were sort of having a war, basically, over Job's worship. And we've learned why worship matters to us. And for me, this last one stands out. Worship matters to me because it puts God in the right place, and it puts me in my right place. That is, when I truly worship God, not just with my lips, but with all that I am, then he is on the throne of my life, and I am not. It's a great place for God to be. Today is titled The Big Picture, and we'll cover this over the next 2 weeks. Chris Powley will be doing that next week as well. And here Lou takes a look at what is worship. But not just what worship is as defined in the dictionary, but what is worship for the follower of the true God. And Louis gives this definition. Worship is our response, both personal and corporate, to God, for who he is, and he makes a point of saying the exclamation mark there, and for what he has done, exclamation mark, expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live. Probably just pay to write that down. There's quite a bit, and he's going to go into this in quite a bit in depth. Today we're just going to be looking at this first bit, and next week Chris Powley will take us through the next bit with Louis as well. So today we're going to be looking at worship as our response, both personal and corporate, to God. He mentions that worship is a verb. It's an action word. Something we do and not just what we watch. And we read in the Psalms, and I had a look through the Psalms to sort of see the psalmist sort of in some ways really involving himself in this worship. Some examples here. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Or the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Now don't picture the psalmist sort of saying this as a dirge, if you like, or just with his mouth even, you know, but with gusto and with energy as he says it. Because it's not just his voice, but it's his whole body, it's his whole heart that is giving praise to God. Louis said, when our lives become infected by the things of high priority and value, we become active. And if you think back to the Rugby World Cup, it wasn't that long ago, with the nail-biting finish, the final of the cup there, and probably some of you remember exactly where you were at that time. If you were watching the game, what were you doing at that time? Were you sitting back with a hot Milo, dozing off, thinking, when is this game going to end? Well, if you were, then maybe rugby isn't of high priority to you. Or were you sitting on the edge of your seat in a nervous sweat, spurring on the ABs with gusto and passion, willing them to hold on just a bit longer because it was so close, wasn't it? Now, think of your relationship with God. Louis goes on to say, if there is no action, there is probably not a huge connect point going on there. That's something to think about, isn't it? Worship is our response to this relationship we have with God. Now, I'm going to let Louis take over here. I'm probably going to give Louis the main floor this morning because there's some really good things he's got to say. And he's got a great analogy here about this connect point that we have with God. So listen to what he says here.
Worship is a verb. The second little phrase here says that worship is our response. If you want to just, you want to bail on the whole long definition and just hang out with that, I think that'd be a good definition. Worship is our response. In other words, here's the thing. God initiates, we respond. We really don't do anything. It's not like you decided at some point, I'm going to become a follower of Jesus. Oh, really? Well, I think it was more like God said, hey, over here. And you went, huh? Oh, over here. Wow, amazing. Who are you? That's who you are? Whoa, that's what you've done for me? Whoa, that's what you're offering to me? Amazing. And it's all about a response to him. It's us responding back to God. God is the one who began it all in the first place. God, we're worshipers because God showed us himself. And if he didn't show us himself, we're not worshipers. Because worship is a response. He reveals, we respond. If you have your Bible tonight, there's a kind of a core passage on worship that many of you know the verse well, but I want us to just read it out loud together tonight. It's found in Romans 12, the first verse. And it begins with the word therefore, which means response. That's all that word means. This is a response. And when you look at Romans 12:1, you start to understand how the responsive side of worship works. And that's why God just demands so much of us in worship. He just demands so much of us. He demands all of us in our response to him. Why? Because it is a response, and he gave all of himself to us. Therefore, he demands all of us for him. And that's what Paul's trying to say. We talked, if you're around here Sunday, about the doxology, which is before, which we won't go back and take a lot of time on tonight. But God's amazing. Summary of verse 33 to 36. And don't try to figure him out. He's bigger than that. But the end verse, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. That's enough truth to get the therefore and the response of the next verse, which says, therefore, since all things are from him, through him, and to him. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. I love it that Paul didn't write, I urge you to offer your songs as living sacrifices. He said, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than coming and singing songs. It's bigger than, you know, saying things that we think are true to God. It's about all of you and your whole body being. That's the offering I want, God says. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Why? This is your spiritual act of worship. Some translation says this is your reasonable service of worship. What is he saying? This is the right response to what God has done. It is the only response to what God has done. In view of the mercy of God, just bring it all as worship to God. In view of the mercy of God, you cannot just get by with singing a song. In view of the mercy of God, you just can't come to 722 a couple of times a month. In view of the mercy of God, you can't categorize and break your worship down into, you know, areas that are more satisfying and negotiable for you. In view of the mercy of God, which means I was dead but I'm alive. I had nothing but judgment coming, but I got grace and mercy instead. In view of that, in light of that, if that's who you are, my response to you is pretty clear. Everything I am for you, all of me, for all of you, God. You know, we talk about this in a lot of different ways. Some of you heard me talk in the past here about the Northern Lights. It's one of the things that stunned me most on the planet. Anybody seen the Northern Lights? You've been there, a few of you? About 9 people. That is sad. That is sad. I don't know why people live in Alaska, but I definitely think everyone should visit Alaska. It is amazing up there. And you don't have to go to Alaska. You can go to Greenland or somewhere else like that. But in the Northern Lights, I think you understand how they work. Everybody understand the Northern Lights? Because I have no clue. I have no idea. I've read about it. I bought the video. I don't have any idea how it works. All I know is that sometimes that the sky turns into a lava lamp, and it's just flat mind-boggling. I'm serious about that. I'm talking about plug it in. It's lime green lava lamp as big as the whole entire sky. I'll never forget being there one night, and you're supposed to be out in the dark and way away from civilization. You can see them better. But we'd been at this thing, this youth deal I was doing there, and we'd gone to eat at this restaurant in the mall. We came out from the mall, and the person with us, our host from Alaska, who's grown up seeing the Northern Lights all of her life, goes, uh-oh. As soon as we walked out of the mall, big parking lot, big lights everywhere, mall parking lot, nighttime, dark, and she goes, uh-oh. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, that sounded like the right thing we want to hear. And she said, we got to get in the car. We got to get in the car. So there's a whole group of us, and we piled into this little car, and she just sort of heading out of town as fast as she could drive to the one road that goes, and it didn't take long to get out of this town, and just like, we're going out of town right now. And we drove out by the airport, and we drove out to a little place where we could park the car and get out, and there was no street lights, there was no building lights, no billboards, no office buildings, no light anywhere except those little lights on the runway. We couldn't see them because we weren't up there. We were down here. And I'm not kidding you. There are no words to describe what happened. If some of you 10 people that said you've seen them, you know, try to disperse amongst the crowd at the end and just try to tell people a little bit about it. It's like all of a sudden a whole big thing of lime green goes, and then another one goes, and you're like, whoa, whoa, check that out. Whoo! And I mean, it's just on. It's moving. It's in motion. It's active. And it's just bright on, full on. And then a different shade comes by and goes, whoo! And you're like, whoa, check that out. And I mean, we're just standing out there. And I'm guaranteeing you this. It was freezing cold. Nobody's out there going. I mean, people, we're running around. We're running around going, whoa, woo, look at that. Oh, man, and finally, you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning or something. I don't know. We finally have to go. And so we go back, and I'm staying at this place. I get in my room. I'm lying in the bed, and I'm going, unbelievable. My heart's beating fast. I finally call Shelly. She's back in Atlanta. I have no idea what time it is, but I dial her up right then and there. I'm not kidding you. To say to her, this is unbelievable. I even took her back all the way to Fairbanks to try to show her Zippo when we went back. Not a nothing. Black sky. She's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And we saw we were here. Like way back when thing over there, and I was like, oh golly, you're not gonna believe this. And I'll never forget just laying there going, oh man, whoa, what was that? I'm not kidding you, I'm not making any of this up. And you're going, no, look, dude, we weren't not there. Bring a picture next time, you know, we've got video here. But there's no way. I could sit up here on this stool from now until Friday, and there's no way one person here's heart would beat fast. If you haven't seen them, you can't respond to them. It's just the way it is. And nobody can make you worship with all your heart, because it's a response. And if you've never seen him, then you're never going to respond to him. You never know what it felt like to lay down one night and your heart just beat fast and go, wow. You never know what it's like to leave a gathering of the body and just dial somebody as fast as you can and go, you are not going to believe this. God. So what's imperative in worship is not that you try to get it out. Sorry, I made some person really nervous over here. Not sure what happened. Is he okay? No. What's imperative in worship is that you see God. That's imperative, because worship is, shorter version, our response to God. And so the prayer, see, that's what Paul's getting at. He's assuming here. He's not preaching a big, long sermon. He's just saying, bring your whole body up here and put it down the altar and say, God, all of me, all the time, living sacrifice, that's reasonable in view of your mercy. And if you're still negotiating with God, I hate to be the person to tell you, and I know it sounds a little bit out there, but you just don't have a clue what the mercy of God is about. If you're still negotiating, and that's not a knock on you, we're all in process of learning stuff about God, every one of us, including me on the stool, but if you're just not at the point yet of going, I don't know if I just am ready to let go and let my whole life be for God, all that is an admission that you have not yet a clue about the mercy of God. That's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing, saying, hang in there with God and ask God, let me have a clue of the mercy of God. What it meant for the Son of God to take my place. and for me to have freedom and complete eternal cleansing and joy as a son or daughter of God from this time forth. Because when you see that cross, you start running up and down, you start yelling, you start screaming, your heart starts beating fast, and you're like, whoa! Now, unfortunately, for a lot of people, you get over that after a little while. Maybe you live in Alaska long enough, and you look up there, and you go, oh yeah, cool, Northern Lights, and you go on about your business. I cannot fathom that, being from down here, where we got like a few stars. I don't know how that works, but it's possible, I guess. But I went to the airport the next day. I was flying from Juneau back to Anchorage so I could fly from Anchorage back home. And I went to the Juneau airport the next morning, and the lady at the Delta ticket counter, no kidding, she says, how are you doing this morning? I said, I'm still a little hyperventilated in the morning at the airport. It's early, and I'm up till like 4 o'clock still beating fast, and I'm not doing good on time, but I'm feeling great. And she says, how are you? And I don't do my normal, you know, I go, I'm a little afraid to look over there. I'm just going to let that one go. That's why we had the edit in the CD machine. But I say to her, I'm doing great. I had an amazing night. And she says to me, did you see the Northern Lights? I said, oh yeah, I saw them for the first time. She said, you are so lucky. She said, we don't get them like that, but maybe 3 or 4 or 5 times a year here. And I went, oh. And some of you just need to leave tonight, make your simple prayer, God, I got to see you. I need to see more. My worship is tiny because my view of you is too small. And if worship is a response, I need to see more.
We can hear about God all we want, but it is unlikely our hearts will beat fast with excitement. This was a statement that Louis made there. And why? Because there is no real connection. If we haven't seen him, we cannot respond to him. Found that quite challenging there. Nobody can make you worship because it is your response. The next point, Louis carries on, as you can see on PowerPoint there, is that it is both personal and corporate. And Louis points out that we can often say, we are going to church to worship. But that maybe we should be turning this around saying, we are worshiping, going to church, or we are going worshiping to church, I should say. And that sort of, I suppose, it speaks in a little bit about our lives, our habits, our personal life as well with God. Do we come to church to worship, and that's the only time, and on Sunday morning, and then we go home for the rest of the week, and that's it, it's all over? Or is our life a habit of worship? And then we come to church worshiping, meeting with other believers who are already worshiping. And I just sort of thought, you know, wouldn't that be quite amazing? You know, here we are, all worshiping God throughout the week, with our mouths, with our bodies, with all that we are. And then we come to church, all worshiping. In some ways, it'd be like a bit of an explosion, wouldn't it, of worship to God at that time when we all gather together. Worship is not just a corporate thing we do here at Rosedale, but it starts within, outside the church. It is first deeply personal. So I think, ask yourself this morning, I think I've written this question down, why did I come to church this morning? And we may have come for various reasons, maybe because that's what we do on Sunday, to meet with friends and that we don't catch up with throughout the week, coffee and tea afterwards, the chat, some of the songs, maybe because we're on assigned to a duty or something on the Sunday morning. We don't come to church just to get filled up, and whether it's by music or all these other things, by Louis speaking necessarily or other speakers, or just the fellowship. What would happen if we all came to church worshipping? And that's something to consider. I'm going to carry on, Louis carry on now to the finish here, and he starts off with carries on with this sort of this thought. And it's a little bit lighthearted to start with sort of thing, but it's got a real punchline at the end, and it'll end up with having a response from us too. So just listen to what he says here, and I'll come back and finish off at the end. Oh, sorry, I've just got to quickly fast forward it.
And corporate. A little quick test here. I love to do this. It's one of my favorite things to do. Guys, pay attention. I'm paying attention myself. You got a girlfriend? Any of you guys here have a girlfriend? You guys see your hands? Just really high. No, real high. 19 people. All right, beautiful. That's cool. Well, you might want to think about if you have a girlfriend, or maybe some of folks that don't have a girlfriend would think about it. You could just tell them how much you love them. You know what I'm talking about, how that works? I went and got these at Walmart, which I know is the last card buying place. You know what I'm saying? If you like forgot, you get it at Walmart, but that's not like your first, second, third, fourth, or fifth, sixth stop for cards. Their cards are a little bit on the low end down there, but it's Walmart and it's all made in America, so it's all good. But I picked this one up. This one is really nice. I don't know if you can get a shot of that or not. This one's pretty cool. I'll read it for you. Since I've known you, I feel like I'm living in a whole new world. And we're going to vote in a minute, ladies, so pay close attention, okay? The sun is brighter, the grass is greener, and everything we do together is exciting. See the two little park benches, you know, can you see that whole vibe going on there? Now we're down to just one park bench. See, there's a little lower-lying symbolic message in here. I'm following along. The more time we were on two benches, we looked over, we saw each other, we moved on to one bench in the inside. The more time I spend with you, the more I want to find out all about you. Like, what is your last name? Bad speaker. How you think, how you feel, what your dreams are. Any guy ever ask you that one, or told you that one? I just want to know, what are your dreams? You know? What the guy says when he says that is, talk fast, because then I want to tell you all about mine. I'm a guy, so okay, I'm not knocking anybody, but I'm one of us, okay? I'm sorry, it's just reality. Let me get on with this. You've brought something very special into my life, and I'll always be glad for this time together. Isn't that cool? What is it? That's only $2.49 in Canada. And see, if you got that at Hallmark or some cool card place, it would have cost you like $7 or something, but Walmart, $2.49. Isn't that, okay, that's A. Let me get over here to B. B is amazing. Can you get a shot of B? Lucky me. Now, I don't know about the artist who did the rendering there. It looks a little bit like a bad jack-o'-lantern turned into a... But that's a whole other thing. And the inside, by the way, it's pretty simple. It's, you know, some of you may, this is like, you're like, I'm give me that. I want that. I want that right there. Sign your name on that and put it in an envelope and give it to me. This one is pretty simple. It just says loving you. And it has that little heart, you know, under it. See that? Yeah, there you go. Isn't that nice? Okay, that's B. Now, for the real risky guy out there, You're going out there. You're just going for it. I'm going for it. Put it all out there. There's C. C is just a sweet little, you know, one of those deals. You ever wonder who's designing all these, by the way? It's a little mouse on the end of a flower stem. Now, why is that? I mean, that technically is a rodent, you know? It's either a rodent or a really unhappy guy, barely hanging on to the relationship. I can't tell. Or maybe the relationship, oh, I see what it is now. The relationship is so amazing, it just lifted him right up off the ground, and he's flying away. And it's blank inside. You know why, how you know, no, you have to write something in it, bro. That's what the deal is there. It's like, do you know how you know it's blank inside? Because it tells you that above the card in the Walmart. These are blank inside. So don't pick them up, look in. But do you know what? I always find myself picking them up and looking inside. I don't know why I do that. It said right there, it's blank inside. And I go, oh yeah, well that's blank inside. Okay, that's cool. So just a little quick vote. I'm just curious here. This will give the guys a little heads up. A card, ladies?
A!
Okay. All right. Lucky me, B. A little more. All right, cool. Wow, okay, I guess that's going to be a big one for he's got to think of something to say. I want to hear from him. That's card C, you got a big strong response. Okay, that's good. I want him to draw a picture. He can trace his hand. he can just put a thumbprint in there, which I'll run through FBI background check. Whatever. Okay, but what if, ladies, what if it just came, I mean, these are nice. I mean, check it out. You got the white, these are textured envelopes, by the way. You got the sort of pinky cranberry mixture going on here. The sherbet color, you got the yellow. I mean, these are nice. This one is $249. I guess they're all $249. At Walmart, all the cards are $249. But this is like a manila envelope. You get these at the Eckerd's, you know, which has better cards than Walmart, by the way. But if it came in this, and it had the little clasp thing, and you opened it, and you're like, whoa, that looks really swank. But when you pull it out, it was some teal paper that he got down at Michael's craft store and or at the art supply store, and he cut out another white piece and glued it on there with a glue stick. And took the X-Acto knife that he got, just cut the little heart out of the side, and he wrote on it. It's not like these guys are get paid money and all that stuff. It just says, I'm not really sure I have the words to say to convey my heart to you. You're a gift beyond compare, a precious treasure to me. I'm so glad you're in my life. I love you. Okay, so let's just vote again real fast, okay? I just need it. We've got, this is pretty happening. It looks a little Thomas Kincaid-ish. Okay, we've lost voters on this. We're going backwards on this, okay? Guys, be honest. I'm not trying to swing the vote here. I'm not opening a card company. That's not the way this is going to work at the end. And I've got these at the resource table tonight in 9 different varieties, guys. The Lucky Me card. Thank you so much. We've got a few takers on the lucky me. You want some guy to say it, don't you? I am so lucky. Yeah, I don't care. Give him that card. And then we've got the little mouse hanging on to the end of the deal. You like that one? Okay, beautiful. Awesome. Okay, it sounds like a slam dunk for this one. Is that going to be the vote we get there? Yeah. And I'll tell you why. It's a simple deal. It doesn't matter. This one's actually pretty well done. But it was homemade the whole way. But the reason why this is going to get the vote all the time, either way, guys giving it to girls or girls giving it to guys, because it's personal. And see, worship is both personal and corporate. And we've pushed it over into the category that says worship is what we do at church. Worship is what we do at 722. And that is true. But it's also a very personal thing. And the songs that we sang tonight, someone else wrote them all. Now, they're way better than this. But some other human being wrote every song we've sung tonight. And I'll tell you what really moves God is when you write your own song to Him. Because worship is a very personal thing. That's why we love the Psalms and turn to Him. Because it's just the outpouring of a guy, in some cases different guys, hearts to God. The good, the bad, the ugly, the sad, it just gushes out of the heart. Lord, you are my rock and my refuge and ever-present help in times of trouble. And so somewhere along the way, we've got to not just come and give God one of these, which He loves these because He actually wrote these Himself, most of them, by inspiring the guys who wrote them to sing them to Him. He's cool with these, but he's like, okay, that's great. I'd really just love one of these every now and then from you. He said, well, what does that look like? It looks like you just get in your car, and don't tell me you don't have it in you because you've had it in you since you were a little kid in the tub. Every one of us in here has. It means you get in your car tonight when you leave, if you're alone and you came by yourself, and just singing a song to Jesus that He's never heard before and that no one else ever will. You say, oh, that wouldn't be a good idea. Oh, it'd be a great idea. It means getting a journal and carving a little time to sit and let God reveal something from His Word. And once it does and it hits you and you go, oh my goodness, He's so merciful. He's so merciful. You know, I had to lose my patience with people. I'm so short with people. I don't give people a second chance. And God, it's so merciful. And you pick up a pen and you go, God, you are such a merciful God. There's no way that I could ever know how patient you are with me. And you write a psalm. We're not going to put it in the Bible. We're not going to call it scripture. We're not going to put it in the Bible reading plan. But it's your own psalm, your own song, your own heart to God expressed to him. And then you just sit back and you read it to him and say, this is my heart to you, God. And it is a little bitty card with an exacto heart stuck in a manila envelope. And to God, he goes, I vote for that. I vote for that. Because that's you picking up the pen, you taking the time, you spending the energy, you making the investment to hand to me something that says, you know, we say this all the time, God, but I love you. You are my boyfriend. You are my lover. You're the most important thing in my life. And maybe nobody ever sees it but you and God. You see, worship is both personal and corporate. And there is something unique, no doubt about it, about coming in and with one voice having thousands of people say the same thing about God and to him. But there's also a place where I think we all want to be here, or maybe every now and then all 3,000 of us can just say something personal to him. And he can just hear your heart. Worship is our response, both personal and corporate to God. For who he is, exclamation point, and what he's done, exclamation point, expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live.
Great thing to do. I really encourage it. Let me just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's great to hear the message of God. It's great to be so enjoy our relationship. It's great to meet here at church. It's what sort of way with other believers. It's wonderful, Lord. And I thank you so much for the personal relationship. This week, Lord, we respond to you with our song, with our prayer, with our letter of love to you, Lord. Be glorified and honored this week, Lord, through our worship to you. In Jesus' name, amen.